Please be seated, and I'll pray. Lord God, thank you for who you are and for what you did. Lord, thank you for giving us an opportunity this morning to worship you, and we can only do that because you transformed our hearts and helped us see your truths. Lord, as we open up your word this morning, help us to see clearly who you are. Lord, help our love for you to grow and our worship of you to be sweet to your ears. In your name, amen. Good morning. Welcome to Grace Bible Church. Now is the time in the service where we get an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. We're going to pause and remember Christ's death on the cross, and we're going to take a little piece of cracker and a little bit of juice and use that as symbols to remember him. We'll be opening God's Word together, so if you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand, and there's men in the front that would love to bring you one. And if you don't own it, this is yours to keep. And while they're handing those Bibles out, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. These are probably familiar to you because, well, for many reasons, but none more than it's our memory verse this month. The Next Generation's Ministries has been going through it. It's been on my mind a lot this month. And so what better opportunity or verse to use to direct our eyes to as we think about Christ? Before we read these verses, I want to remind you of their context. Paul is imprisoned, but he's operating with joy. He's writing to a church facing internal struggles and external pressures. And rather than just providing strategies to deal with those, he directs them to gaze on Christ. Man, what a help that would be for us this morning. He offers a vivid picture, an ancient hymn celebrating Christ's humble descent and ultimate exaltation. And today we're going to look at just the opening stanza of that hymn. So let's look at Christ together. Philippians 2, verse 6 says, "Christ Jesus, who although existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of men." John MacArthur describes this passage by saying, "Paul's motives in these words in a stunning way are not really theological. He's not writing the theology of the incarnation just so that we would know the doctrine. These verses present the truth that the Son of God came to earth as a man to save sinners through his death and resurrection. But the main point here is not to identify Jesus in his saving work, but to identify Jesus as a model of humility, a model of self-denying, self-giving, humble love. And that's what we're looking at when we read these verses. So let me read them one more time. "Christ Jesus, who although existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of men." Jesus, fully God, refused to cling to divine equality and instead emptied himself, becoming a servant in human likeness. In these two verses, Paul gives us three profound acts of Jesus that can only be done in all humility. Jesus released his majesty. Jesus emptied himself of his divine role, and he emptied himself of his divine nature. Let's look at how he released his majesty. Existing in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus eternally shares in God's glory, yet he willingly released his rightful claim to the privileges of divine majesty. He let go of heaven's honor to embrace earthly humiliation. Jesus, a divine king, stepped away from a heavenly throne to live among his creation, not as a king, but as a servant, not for a moment, but for a lifetime. The most powerful sovereign chose to dwell in poverty and obscurity, not compelled by obligation, but moved by love. Jesus did this, and as we approach communion, ask yourself, what am I clinging to? The next act of Jesus described here is that he emptied himself of his divine role. The Greek word kenosis, meaning self-emptying, is so important that we understand what it is and what it isn't. Jesus did not empty himself of deity. Instead, he laid aside the privileges and independent exercise of his divine attributes. Let's talk about the grammar of these two phrases for a second. Think of this sentence like a main idea with two matching points underneath it. He emptied himself. Bullet one, by taking on the form of a slave. Bullet two, by being made in the likeness of men. Both bullets start with an ing verb, taking and being. Neither has its own subject. They both rely on he, and they both explain how he emptied himself. Because they have the same pattern and they sit side by side, we say they are parallel phrases, like two equal rungs on the same ladder. The two phrases give two complementary angles, not just one idea said twice. Taking the form of a slave shows the role Jesus accepted, the lowest social position, living to serve others. Being made in the likeness of men shows the nature he assumed, real human flesh and blood with all of our limitations. Imagine the divine God stepping away from his divine throne and coming to earth to rule mankind as the most powerful person on the planet. That would be the most humility mankind has ever seen. Except that wasn't what Jesus did. He wasn't just made in the likeness of men. He took the form of a slave. I think Paul listed this servant form of Jesus first for emphasis. The unimaginable act of laying aside his divine nature sits below the role on earth as a slave to mankind. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it best. There's only one thing I know of that crushes me to the ground and humiliates me to the dust. And that is to look at the Son of God and especially contemplate the cross. Nothing but the cross gives us this spirit of humility. And yet that's not where it ends. He also emptied himself of his divine nature. Let me be clear. When Jesus emptied himself, he does not surrender any attribute of deity, but he voluntarily restricts independent use in keeping with his purpose of living among men and their limitations. The incarnation added humanity to his undiminished deity. It did not amputate or relocate his divine presence. I'm going to share a series of attributes of his divine nature alongside vivid pictures of how he experienced them as a man on earth. As you listen, begin to prepare your heart to take the elements. Listen and meditate on the divine humility that Jesus exercised in love when he came to dwell among us. Reflect on these truths and let them move you to worship. The omnipresent God was confined to human space and time. Infinite strength felt human weakness. Unbounded freedom willingly constrained by human limitations. Omniscience learned to speak. The eternal word grew in wisdom as a child. Omnipotence slept under the stars he formed. The one that created the world and his words experienced thirst and hunger. Perfect peace endured human anguish. Eternal joy experienced human sorrow. Absolute holiness bore the shame of sinners. Perfect righteousness was counted among criminals. Heaven's King submitted himself to earthly authorities, and then limitless life experienced death. These truths draw us inevitably to the cross. The bread reminds us of Christ's body that was broken for us, and the cup confirms his blood that was poured out. Together they preach to our senses the core gospel truth. Jesus humbled himself so sinners could be lifted high. If you're here and you have not trusted in Christ as your Savior, we welcome you. You've heard the heart of Christianity this morning. But communion is reserved for those of us that believe and have put our trust in Christ, those of us that have repented and turned from our sins and follow him. So please let the elements pass by and use this moment to reflect on Christ's humility and sacrifice for you. Believer, Scripture urges self-examination. Confess any pride or selfish withholding from Christ. Receive his grace anew, and then partake with gratitude. Men, please come serve us, and I'll come back and close our time.